Rest in peace, Flip Saunders. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. And yes, the season, it is back. We are, well, not quite, we haven't played any games, but this is the first of the daily podcasts and ready to get into another big season of NBA. In addition to this podcast being brought to you by moneyball.com.au, Australia's first daily fantasy sports provider, it is also brought to you by Super Buck Wild on Twitter. And that is because Giuseppe left a review on iTunes. And if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and send me a picture of the review. Send a screen capture and tweet it at me or email it to me, and you can sponsor a show of the podcast. So today's podcast, as I said, is brought to you by @SuperBuckWild. He's a huge fantasy fan and a huge supporter of the podcast. So if you have already left a review, if you haven't, get ahead there and leave a review. It helps the show out tremendously, and you can also be a naming rights sponsor of the program. So if you're watching this on YouTube, I thank you for watching on YouTube. Hopefully we're going to have a few extra little things happening on YouTube. As you can see now, if you are watching the video, got some graphics that I'm incorporating. You can see near the bottom, have a few little other things come through during the show just to make it a little bit more interactive. So if you get a chance, subscribe on YouTube as well. And if you are watching live on YouTube, you can add comments as the show's going, tweet me questions, type comments into the YouTube box down the bottom, and we can go from there. Now, what we'd normally do in one of these daily podcasts, it would wrap up the day before and look at all the usual awards that we gave out last year, the Monstrous Line of the Night, the Waiver Wire Line of the Night, the Young Gun of the Night, the Dud of the Night, all that sort of stuff. But there wasn't any games today, so I'm not going to be doing that. So today's podcast will probably be a little bit shorter, but the general format will be, we'll go through the awards from the night before, we'll touch on any injuries that happened, any injury news or pertinent player news. Then we'll do a game-by-game review, and then we'll transition to the next day and then start to look at the next day ahead and do some game previews and look at what's happening for the next day for daily fantasy purposes and for seasonal purposes, and talk about players whose value is rising and all that sort of stuff. What we'll also do once a week is also talk about some weekly strategies. So that's something that we'll talk about a little bit on this podcast, is the schedules of guys, which players you want to look at, how you can maximize your waiver additions if you've got limited additions during the week. And I think that's pretty key in maximizing what you do during the season and what you do during a weekly matchup. Now, one of the things that I need to stress to everybody now, and it's, you're going to hear me say it probably for the next week, 2 weeks, is that when in these first 2 weeks, there are going to be some things that are stupid. They're going to be dumb performances. They're going to be dumb in a good way, where someone is going to go out there and someone who is literally crap, like Dante Cunningham, is going to go out there and he's going to hit 30 points with 6 threes. And everybody's going to be going, oh my God, I need to pick up Dante Cunningham. Do I pick up Dante Cunningham and do I drop Darren Williams? Do I pick up Dante Cunningham and do I drop Chris Middleton? There'll be people who do that, and hopefully it's not the people listening to this podcast, but there'll be people in your league that do that. What you need to do in these first 2 weeks is A, don't make a panic move, and B, capitalize on somebody else's panic move. So if somebody's having a rough start, if a good player is having a rough start, so say Nick Vucevic goes out there and goes 6 points, 4 rebounds in the first game. You know, send a trade out. Oh, what Skiles done to Vucevic? Let's see if we can get him. But if you've got him, don't panic. These things even out, and it's an 82-game season. The numbers average out, you know, generally pretty evenly throughout the year, but there is always some crazy bad and crazy good performances in the first week of the season and the first 2 weeks. And you've got to make sure you're not succumbing to that pressure of losing the guys who are really valuable on your team. And you've also got to make sure you're trying to take advantage of your fellow league mates, the ones who panic, the ones who make dumb moves, the ones who drop guys that they shouldn't drop. You need to be ready to pounce on that sort of stuff. So that's I'm going to say that probably for the next 2 weeks. You need to pay attention to this sort of stuff and really make sure that you're doing the right thing by your team and ready to pounce on, because there will be a mistake. Now, it won't be in everyone's league, but a big chunk of you guys' league, there'll be a mistake from somebody, and you need to pay attention to it. I remember in the league a couple of years ago when Brandon Jennings played for the Bucks, Jennings missed like three games with a sprained ankle and someone dropped him. I grabbed him. I had like a fab budget. I spent like $82 of my $100. This is when Brandon Jennings was a legit top 40 player, especially if you were punting field goal percentage. I threw out nearly all my money on him, grabbed him, and won the championship. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember exactly, but if not, I was in the finals, and adding Brandon Jennings for nothing was a big part of it. People will panic. I think I've stressed that enough. Hopefully you guys don't panic, but I just want to make sure you're aware of that, that whatever happens in the first game, and it's going to be multiplied. Tomorrow, there's three games on. There is going to be a strange performance from someone. Omer Asik blocked 5 blocks in the opening game of last season. I think he totaled about 5 blocks in about the next 2 months combined. He's not a shot blocker, but it was like, oh my God, we need to add Omer Asik. Everybody add Omer Asik. And if he did, it wasn't a great move for you all season because he wasn't that good. There is going to be somebody who puts up numbers like this in these first, especially when there's only three games on. We are going to overanalyze. You're going to overthink things. Just be careful. Now, before we get into the stuff for tomorrow, just want to look at the week and see what's happening. I wrote a big article for this on Basketball Monster, so hopefully you remember at Basketball Monster. Go ahead and subscribe over there. There's really some great stuff on there. And in addition to myself that's producing content over there and dealing with the projections, my good mate Kyle McEwen is going to be joining the team at Basketball Monster as well. So you'll see articles from Kyle throughout the week. He'll be in there answering questions on the forums, helping me with the projections, responding to users. So myself and Kyle will be handling the content at Basketball Monster. We might even add a few more people as the season progresses, but it's great to have Kyle on board. And if you're not listening to Kyle and the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, Kyle and Mark do a fantastic job. And obviously, I like you listening to this podcast, but also I really give a big shout out to Kyle and Mark and go and listen to their podcast too, because it's always a good idea to have a few different ideas of things. You have your own ideas on players. You could listen to me talk about players. You could listen to Kyle and Mark talk about players. And those guys are pretty much the best in the business, and they put out a great product as well. So I really encourage you guys to check out Kyle and Mark and their podcast. Now, let's look at this week ahead. There's 30 teams in the NBA. 26 of them play three games. So they're fairly even. They're not even, but they're fairly even. We'll talk about that in a sec. The Bulls and the Hawks have 4 games. The Timberwolves and the Sixers play 2 games. Now, what that means for Timberwolves guys, if you're in a weekly lineup lock, most of these Timberwolves guys, you're probably not going to use. Andrew Wiggins, you might have to put him on the bench. Ricky Rubio, if you're dying for his assists, maybe, but he's not a must-start guy. Nerlens Noel, yeah, look, he probably is a guy you want to start, but he might not be. If you don't really need his steals and blocks and you're not desperate for them, and getting someone else with 3 games might be worthwhile in that weekly lineup. Obviously, in a daily changes league, it's a completely different situation. You're going to use them, but there's not many games for those guys. So, yeah, the fact that Robert Covington's out, whoever you add, and you know, it looks like Jakar Sampson's going to be starting in place of Robert Covington and not Jeremy Grant, which we'll talk about soon. You're not going to use these guys anyway, because the Sixers play 2 games, and they play them on Wednesday and Friday, which are massive full schedule guys. So even if you add a guy like Jakar Sampson, you add Jeremy Grant, you know where they're going to sit? On your bench. And there's no point. Now, the next week, the Sixers play 4 games. Look, they said initially Covington was out for 2 weeks, but then they reassessed and said, yeah, the injury is the same, but now we're not putting a timetable on. I still think it's close to 2 weeks, maybe 2.5. There's no real big move there, but I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. As for the Bulls and the Hawks, they both play 4 games, but not all 4-game schedules are created equal. The Hawks have the better 4-game schedule because 3 of those games comes on nights where there are a less crowded schedules, when there are less than 8 games on. The reason that's important, you hear the talk of quality games a lot, is because, as I mentioned, you can go out there and the Bulls play 4 games. That's great. And the Hawks play 4 games. But if you're deciding between, say, Kent Bazemore, who's been named the starting shooting guard for the Hawks, or Tony Snell, who's the starting small forward for the Bulls, you can add Bazemore. And on 3 of those 4 games, it's going to be a light schedule night, so you can actually use him. For Snell, it's not the case. It's only 2 of those games where it's on light schedule nights, the opening night and then 1 other. So the other 2 nights, you're going to sit him on the bench anyway. So where's the value in that? So if you're looking to add someone, you know, the Hawks have got these 3 sort of quality games to look at. So the best guy there from the Hawks is Thiago Splitter, who's going to get significant minutes. Even if it's only 24 minutes, he's a good percentage guy, get some rebounds, some blocks. He's a real handy big man to have on your team or on any sort of fantasy team. I think he's really underrated, especially with the three quality games this week. So that's important that you have a look at that. Now, another thing to pay attention to is if you have limited acquisitions during the week, you need to make the most out of who you grab. Now, what you need to look at is there's a couple of teams that are playing some extra games. So when you add those guys, you know you're going to be able to play them. So light schedule night. So the teams that play Thursday and Saturday, that's one acquisition, and then you can use them on Thursday and you can use them on Saturday. Yes, you can't use them on Friday, but you likely have a full schedule that day anyway. So players from the Clippers, the Knicks, the Grizzlies, and the Pacers are all teams to look at because they all play Thursday and Saturday. So you add one of those guys, and then you can play, them on Thursday and Saturday and get them into your lineup. And again, maximize games. No one plays a back-to-back on Sunday. So if you grab one of those guys who plays Thursday, Saturday, you drop one of the guys on Saturday, add a Sunday guy. If you add a Hawks player in there who's got three quality games, you can make, say, two or three moves and get yourself an extra five or six games, which can be a really key thing in head-to-head leagues. Hopefully, now I've written a bigger article on this on Basketball Monster, which I will write each week, which I encourage you to have a look at, talking about some short-term waiver wire ads as well. So go ahead and have a look at that. In terms of injury or player news, this is the section of the show I'm going to cover here. Now, the Sixers. This is the likely starting lineup they're going to run out on Wednesday. So not tomorrow, or not, days always confuse me. Not Tuesday in the States. The next day, Wednesday, which is Thursday for us Aussies. The Sixers are going to run out a starting lineup of Isaiah Cannon, Jakar Sampson, my boy, Hollis Thompson, Nerlens Noel, and Jahlil Okafor. Yeah, we knew that Noel and Okafor were going to start. I've been thinking that Cannon's going to start for quite a while. Jakar Sampson and Hollis Thompson, not so much. Now, Stauskas is probably not going to play with his leg injury. Robert Covington is out. I thought Jeremy Grant would get the look, but it doesn't appear so. Hollis Thompson is pretty key there to add some shooting because Covington and Stauskas were two guys who could really spread the floor. Grant, not so much. Not a great shooter, more of a defensive sort of player. So as I mentioned earlier, yeah, Jeremy Grant, he plays two games. If you're going to add him or you're going to add Jakar Sampson, you're going to add Hollis Thompson, they play two games, Wednesday and Friday. You're not going to be able to use these guys anyway. So I wouldn't be too keen on grabbing them for next week. But it's interesting to note that Isaiah Cannon in this time frame, now he is going to start and he's going to play the bulk of the minutes. And he is a handy player to look at because while last year he only played, I'd say, not many minutes, whatever sort of minutes he played, which was 23 or 24 when he came over to Philadelphia. And that's not great. He was replaced by Ish Smith in the starting lineup. But what he was able to do, he was able to hit a stack of threes. So if you're looking for some scoring and some threes with some decent steals, some decent assists, and some good free throw percentage, Isaiah Cannon might be someone to look at because he could get easily, and I think I've projected him for over 30 minutes a night for the first couple of weeks because it's going to be him and it's going to be TJ McConnell playing point guard. Tony Roten's out to the end of November. Kendall Marshall's out to the end of November. Pierre Jackson was waived. Scotty Wilbekin was waived. So it's going to be McConnell. And it's going to be Isaiah Cannon who's going to be playing the point guard. So if there's someone you want to look at, again, for this week, Cannon's probably not going to provide a huge amount of value, but he is someone that you could add, and he might actually slide into that 10th active spot on your roster because he could go out and drop two or three three-pointers in a game, get you 14 or 15 points. He could be a top 100 player at least worthy of a roster spot on those nights. So he's someone to keep an eye out for. He's going to get a stack of minutes until Roten and until Marshall come back, which is at least a month out. So I think you've got some pretty good value for Isaiah Cannon there. As I said, these other guys, Jakar Sampson, he doesn't have a huge amount. He's deep leagues only. Hollis Thompson is going to be a nice three-point shooter, but he's extremely streaky. Sometimes he'll go out there and hit 55% of his shots and hit three threes a game, and then he'll be pretty much useless for another week. So he's not a guy I'm running to grab. Jeremy Grant gets blocks and steals, but again, he's pretty underwhelming. So I don't think there's really any must-add guy. I'm going to talk about Covington a little bit later on with some of the user questions that came through, and you guys smashed me with questions today, which is fantastic. I sent out a few calls and then give me some questions for the pod. You guys destroyed it. Now, I'm probably not going to get a chance to get to all of them tonight because it was a little bit of overlap in some of the questions, but otherwise, a fantastic effort with you guys. You guys bringing the knowledge and bringing the questions for me to answer on today's podcast. All right, so that's pretty much all of the newsy sort of stuff. Before we look into the preview sort of area, now it said normally we do game reviews and highlight the plays, which we'll do tomorrow. We don't have any of that today. So what we're going to do now, we're going to transition in and look at the game previews for tomorrow. Before we do that, I'm going to have a little break. I'm going to have a slight musical interlude, which is a song provided by a listener of the podcast, a great supporter of the podcast as well, Bryce Whitney, and his band, which is called The Everlost, and the song is called Don't Go. I saw your picture today, got me thinking about the things that I would say, but I know you're happy now and you're someplace far away, 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 and I can't remember. Thank you, Bryce, for the song, Don't Go. I'll be using that song to sort of break up the show a little bit during the year. It also gives me a great chance when I'm on the podcast by myself to grab a drink, which is what I just did then, just to give my voice a little bit of a break, because the difference between doing the podcast live, which is what I'm doing this year, and last year with pre-recording, is when I needed to take a drink, I could just hit pause on the recording. Just live streaming it out to you guys on YouTube, not so much. All right, let's talk now about the games for tomorrow. And quickly, a reminder to all you Aussies out there that you can now play Daily Fantasy on Moneyball. So go ahead and sign up there. There's a link on my webpage, a banner, and there's some links in the show notes for each show. Sign up to Moneyball. I've filled up three Red Rock leagues already. Might do another one, a last minute one, which you can join in. But go ahead and support Moneyball. They're a supporter of the show, and it's a chance for us to put our fantasy chops on the line and win some money. Now, when I'm talking about daily fantasy stuff, majority of the focus is going to be on FanDuel and Moneyball, because their pricing and their scoring structure is the same. Their pricing is pretty similar, so we'll be able to use it all over the place. There'll be a little bit of difference with guys on DraftKings, and I'll probably start to incorporate a little bit of DraftKings stuff in the show as well. But today it's mainly going to be FanDuel and Moneyball stuff. The first game we're going to be looking at is the Pistons and the Atlanta Hawks. First game of the night, first game of the season. The Pistons travel to Atlanta. The Hawks are favored by 7. We've got a pretty low over-under, 197, which is the smallest total of the day. Injury-wise, there's not much we really need to be considering here. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is considered probable with a sore foot, a foot strain. He's going to play. So I don't think we've got really much to worry about unless something creeps up on us overnight. The guys we really want to look at here, I think that as the value comes, and I think the best value plays in this whole game, it's the entire Hawks front court. Tiago Splitter at $4,000 is a pretty cheap guy to look at. And as I said before, I think he's going to get pretty significant minutes. I've got him at 23 minutes, and that's not a big amount of minutes, but at $4,000, he can do enough. He can get you 6 rebounds. He can get you a block, you know, 9, 10 points, a couple of assists, doesn't turn the ball over. That's pretty good value. You know, he's looking at in excess of 20 fantasy points, and I think that's useful there. But Al Horford at 7,200, Paul Millsap at 7,700, I like both of those guys. Now, they don't have to play big minutes to get these numbers. I've only got them projected at Horford at 31 and Millsap at 33. That's not a huge amount of minutes, but I think that both of those guys are going to return pretty big value for the Hawks, all these front court guys. And you don't have to use all three of them in a lineup. But I think that using these, especially Horford at 7,200, I love. I think that's a significant guy to use in daily fantasy tomorrow. I think that he's gonna put up some numbers. We don't really know how the Pistons are going to defend. We don't know how any of these teams are going to defend yet. But the Pistons, they're switching out. You know, they're moving Andre Drummond to center. They're putting Ersan Ilyasova in at power forward. Now, is Ersan Ilyasova a better defender than Greg Monroe? They're both not good defenders. I would go out there and think that Ilyasova is probably a worse defender. And I think that Horford and Millsap are going to give these guys a little bit of trouble running around and flying all over the court. So I think they're in for pretty decent performances. Other guys to look at now on the Hawks, Kent Bazemore, as I said, as the starter. Now, I don't imagine the starter does not equal 30 minutes. We need to get this through our collective heads because it's like, oh, this guy's starting. We need to grab him. Yeah, that's fine. But Thabo Sefolosha is still going to get minutes. Tim Hardaway is still going to play minutes. As bad as he is, he's still going to play some minutes. Dennis Schroeder is going to play next to Jeff Teague some of the time. So there are going to be... Kyle Korver will play a little bit there as well. Probably not a huge amount because I don't really have many other guys to go and play the three. But there's going to be... you know, Bazemore's not going to go out and get 30 minutes. I've got him at 25 minutes, and he's priced at 3,700, which is really, really cheap. So I think that that's a really good for tournament plays. You've got significant upside there because he could go out there and easily exceed the projections we have for him. I don't think he's a great cash game play at that price because he's also been really bad for a big chunk of his career. Well, not really bad, but you know, if he does what he is projected to do, it's not a great fantasy value. It's okay, but it's not fantastic. But in a tournament sort of setup, a GPP, I think there's a lot of value in Bazemore at that price because he could, and that's the key to winning these guaranteed prize pool tournaments. That's what GPP is, or the tournaments, is getting some guys who can blow up. Now, you can get Anthony Davis at his exceptional salary, and he can still, you know, blow up, but it's hard for him to return 10 times value or 9 times value. Bazemore can do that. Now, and generally the key is you want guys to return 5 times value, because you want, in a cash game, $60,000 salary, if you get 300 points, you're generally going to win the money. You need to get more than that in a GPP, though. So you need to get scope to go more than 5 times. You need to get more than 5 times salary to do that. Davis at 11,000, if he goes 5 times, that's 55 points. Okay, he can do that. But for him to go 9 times, we're talking 90 points. It's huge. He's not going to get to that. Whereas if Bazemore throws up a 40-point performance, a 35-point performance, we're talking 8-9 times value. It's a little bit easy there. So that's the way to winning these tournaments, is finding some of these guys who are underpriced and getting a bigger role than maybe anticipated and looking at them. So Bazemore's a guy to look at in that scenario. I also like Stanley Johnson at 4,300 too for the Pistons. It is his first NBA game, obviously. He's going to play off the bench, but Stan Van Gundy has been very vocal in praising Stanley Johnson. You know, he's going to get a lot of minutes. He's earned his minutes. He's going to be a focal point in the second unit. I think that he gets pretty significant run. He's going to be a fantasy-friendly guy, and I think he's going to be a real interesting guy to throw out there. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a little bit more expensive. He's at 5,000. I don't hate it. I think there's value in him too. And Ersan Ilyasova at 5,200. I just went and said that, yeah, he's not a great defender, but at 5,200, if he's going to start, he's going to get close to 30 minutes. I think he'll start thriving in this system. I think Ilyasova's got value too. Andre Drummond, and this is the thing. Okay, Andre Drummond is priced at $1,800 more than Al Horford. Now, Andre Drummond's a player that I love. He's been playing significantly well in preseason, but for an extra $1,800, I would much rather put Al Horford out there at center. Jeff Teague and Reggie Jackson, they're okay value guys. I don't think you're going to get a huge return on what they do. $8,300 for Jackson is relatively high. He can be huge. He can put up big numbers, but that's a big price. And $7,200 for Teague is obviously a little bit more manageable. But again, $7,200 for Teague or $7,200 for Horford, it's pretty clear in my mind. A guy I'm staying away from is Kyle Korver at $5,400. It's not a big price, but coming off 2 injuries, no Damari Carroll out there. How's he going to work with the new lineup? How are they going to get him open? As often are these guys as in tune with the system as what they need to be? That remains to be seen, so I'm going to leave that alone. Marcus Morris is another interesting guy for Detroit. He is going to be starting ahead of Stanley Johnson. I think those Johnson, Ilyasova, and Morris play pretty much all of those not wing minutes, 3 and 4 minutes for Detroit. So I really like Marcus Morris. Actually, I don't really like him. I do like him. He's priced under 6,000, so there is some value there, but he's not a must-start guy for me. No one else really appeals a huge amount on this team in terms of their value. But the value, as I mentioned, it's all concentrated inside the Atlanta Hawks front court. Next game we're going to have a look at is the Bulls and the Cavs. The Cavs travel to Chicago, and I've got that graphic mixed up on the screen there, but that's all right. Well, there are a few teething errors. We'll get that right. The Bulls are favored by 3, which seems an odd bet to me, and the over-under is at 198. So I've got the total coming in at 198 against. Only it's 1 point higher than the Pistons and the Hawks. Not a huge total, but it's decent enough where you go. It's you know, there is a little bit of value there. We've only got 3 games on as well. Now, what we need to talk about here is LeBron James is definitely playing. He missed the last few preseason games with a back problem. Derrick Rose, he's definitely playing. He had the facial fracture, but he played on Friday. There's no minutes restriction for Rose. Unlikely to be anything for LeBron. So any guys, we know that Iman Shumpert's out. We know that Kyrie Irving's out for Cleveland. Everyone else is pretty much ready to go. Oh, sorry, Mike Dunleavy is out for the Bulls. So, where is the daily fantasy value here? Well, one thing that Fred Hoiberg came out and said for the Bulls is that he's going to run most of his starters between 25 to 30, or most of his players between 25 to 32 minutes. Now, it's not all of them, but it's most of them. So, you know, a minutes drop for Jimmy Butler is inevitable, but doesn't mean he comes down to 32. And pretty much everyone else on the Bulls, I've got in that range anyway. I've got Derrick Rose at 32, Pau Gasol at 31, Mirotic at 30, Noah at 26, and Noah's going to be off the bench with Mirotic. So that's it makes sense. You know, I've projected the minutes that way. Hoiberg's come out and confirmed it that way. That feels good to know that he's thinking along the same lines in terms of his rotation that what I am. The only guy I've got ahead of that is Butler, and he could be the one exception that plays those minutes. You've heard me talk down a little bit on Jimmy Butler this preseason, and it's not that I dislike Jimmy Butler. I really like him. It's just that I didn't want to invest pick 12 in Jimmy Butler. I didn't want to invest pick 11 in Jimmy Butler. Daily fantasy-wise, Nikola Mirotic is priced at 5,500. He's also small forward eligible on FanDuel, which I think is significant value there, because there's not many other small forward options that are great price. I think he's got great value there. Now, again, I've got him projected at just 30 minutes. He doesn't need to get 35 minutes. He doesn't need to get 33 minutes to be able to put up numbers. He could score you 16 points, 6 rebounds, get a steal, get a block. It doesn't turn the ball over. His percentages aren't going to bother you in this sort of format. I think he's a great guy to look at here. If we look at some other Bulls players, I actually think Joakim Noah at only 5,700 is an okay option if you're looking for a cheaper center. It's hard to rely on him in a cash game format because we don't really know what he's going to be able to produce. Same with Pau Gasol at 7,900. I think that's probably a little bit overpriced for Pau. We don't know what sort of minutes he's going to get just yet. The other guy that I like, or one of the guys that I like for Cleveland, is Mo Williams, who is set to get a fair bit of run. He's going to be the starting point guard. The guys behind him, Jared Cunningham and Matthew Dellavedova, aren't great. Now, Mo's probably not going to be able to handle 39 minutes, but he should get over 30 minutes. He's priced at $6,000. I think that's a really good price for Mo Williams. We saw last season when Ricky Rubio was out in Minnesota, and then when Kemba Walker was out in Charlotte, Mo Williams was putting up top 50, top 40 fantasy value. At $6,000, Mo Williams shows us he's got a fair bit there. Jimmy Butler is only 7,500. I actually really like that price from a daily point of view. I think that he's going to be able to put up some pretty good numbers and be worthy of that salary. Guys that I'm a bit worried about, Kevin Love at 7,200. Kevin Love could be in for a bounce back season, but I don't know if 7,200 is the price that I necessarily want to go with. Tristan Thompson, we're definitely avoiding him. It's his first game back. He's priced at 5,200. There's no way I'm spending 5,200 on Tristan Thompson where I can spend 5,500 on Nikola Mirotic. So nobody should be owning Tristan Thompson. Next minute, he goes out there and grabs 20 rebounds. It's unlikely. Stay away from Tristan Thompson. Timofey Mozgov is priced $400 less than Tristan Thompson at 4,800. He becomes an intriguing low-price center. The minutes upside is not there for him, though. Anderson Varejao is going to get time. Tristan Thompson's going to get time. So Mozgov's an emergency. Oh, I've got no money left. I need a center. I don't love him there. J.R. Smith at 5,700. He's going to get big minutes. I don't really think that he projects all that well from a daily fantasy point of view. So he's not someone that I'm investing a huge amount in. Derrick Rose at 8,100. It's too expensive for me. And LeBron's priced at $11,000. It's expensive. I don't want to spend it on LeBron. I don't think that there's not many small forwards who are worth a lot of money, so he's there in that point of view, but I don't want to spend it on LeBron at $11,000. There's no value there. In a tournament, a guy that might be worth looking at is Matthew Dellavedova at 3,900. Somebody's going to have to get some minutes playing the one and the two with Shumpert and Irving out. So Dellavedova, we saw he could have big games. He could also have really piss poor games. So that's why he's a tournament guy. And the two Bulls small forwards, Tony Snell at 3,900. Doug McDermott at 4,200. I still like McDermott more. McDermott's going to be off the bench, but McDermott is the better fantasy option. He's priced $300 more. They're both tournament plays. So if you're in a tournament, throw McDermott in one, throw Snell in another lineup and see how it goes. They could provide nothing. They could provide decent numbers. I think McDermott is the bigger chance to provide a bigger night. Doesn't mean by any chance that he's a lock. And that brings me to Tony Snell. Seasonal leagues, Tony Snell is a guy, yes, he's starting, but again, what does it mean? Is he starting and playing 20 minutes? Is he starting and playing a Johnny O'Brien, a Job 7-minute stretch like he did for the Bucks last season? What does it mean? Is Doug McDermott still playing 30 minutes off the bench? I think that's a more likely scenario because McDermott is the better player. He's more able to help the second unit. They got McDermott in the second unit, not because Snell's better, but because they want McDermott in the second unit. There's a big differentiation. It's not like they've said, Tony Snell, you're the better player, you're starting. They've said, Doug, we want you in the second unit because we want you to run the second unit. We want you to be the focal point of the second unit. Tony Snell can't be the focal point. He's not a good player. Even extended stretches last season, he wasn't able to produce standard league relevant numbers. He's not someone I'm looking at in 12-team leagues. He's borderline. I don't think I'd even want to touch him in a 14-team league. I do not like Tony Snell as a player. I do not like Tony Snell as a fantasy option. So I'm definitely not adding Tony Snell in standard leagues because, again, he can provide maybe some threes. He can get really streaky. He just doesn't do enough for me, though. The last game, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Golden State Warriors. And as it says there, it's all about AD. He is going to be, obviously, the story of this game. What's he, not even the story, because the Warriors are going to get their ring, so that's pretty important and pretty impressive for them from that point of view. What does Davis do? He could be anything. Now, in daily fantasy, you have to pay up $11,200, but it's not a horrible thing to, it's not horrible to pay because, yeah, the chances of him getting 50 daily fantasy points, I think they're pretty high. He could go out there and drop 30 and 15 with four blocks, and you know what you'd say? You'd say Anthony Davis is pretty good. That's pretty standard for Anthony Davis. That's what you'd say. That's how good he is. And that's value at that price. It requires a lot of tinkering with your lineup to get him in at that cost. But I still think that's something you can definitely look at and go, he is banking me money. And if then in a tournament you add that and Anthony Davis gives you 55, 60 points, and then you throw in some of these cheap guys, you know, a Tony Snell miraculously goes off and gets you money. Kent Bazemore drops 40 fantasy points. And then you're laughing. You're bringing the money. But Davis is pretty much a lock for 50 fantasy points. Nate Robinson on this team, he's at minimum salary, $3,500. He's going to have to get a ton of minutes. Now, the Pelicans point guard situation. Jrue Holiday is there. Now, we saw in that last preseason game that he exceeded his 15-minute limit. He went to 18 minutes. I don't think that all of a sudden means that Jrue Holiday is going to play 20. He might play 15 or 16, but he's not playing a huge amount, I'm pretty sure. And the reason I say this is because the Pelicans went out and they signed Ish Smith. So if they were confident in Jrue going out there and going, yeah, Drew's all right, he can play 22, Nate Rob can play the other 26, we're set. Eric Gordon can handle the ball a bit, whatever. But they've said, no, we need another point guard to come in. Now, Ish Smith's going to come in. He's been on the team for one day. So, A, Ish Smith's not playing 20 minutes in the first night at least. He could go out there, Alvin Gentry, sorry, I'm stuck in Monty Williams days. Alvin Gentry could go out there and surprise me and throw Ish Smith out there, but the guy's been with the team 24 hours. I think that's pretty unlikely. As much as Nate Robinson's only been there a week or a bit less, at least he's played a game. At least he's tried on a uniform. At least he knows his teammates' names. Holiday's going to start. Robinson's going to get the bulk of the minutes, and then Ish Smith's going to come off the bench. So, Nate Robinson at that price, he's a super player. I think he's got some value in cash games, but in tournaments, he's almost a must-own guy at $3,500. Eric Gordon, I love at $5,200. He is going to have a huge, huge role in this team. He was quietly sensational towards the end of last season. He can handle the ball. He's a really good assist guy for a shooting guard. The talent is just not there on this team, on the wings and at the point at the moment. He is going to have to handle the ball a lot. He's going to have to be somewhat of a focal point outside of Davis. I think that at $5,200, that's a really good price for Eric Gordon. Ryan Anderson's the other guy who's going to benefit with no Omer Asik in the lineup. Alexey Ajinsa, he is probable to play. He's going to try and play, but he's missed the last few weeks with a hamstring injury. So even if he plays and starts, which fingers crossed Alexey Ajinsa plays because we don't want to see Kendrick Perkins playing 25 minutes, Ajinsa's not going to be able to play a huge amount of a role. Anderson and Davis are going to get the bulk of the minutes in this front court. So Ryan Anderson at $5,400, I think there's a lot of value in him for the New Orleans Pelicans. For the Warriors, I really like Andrew Bogut as a cheap center. $5,400, you don't pay much. He doesn't need big minutes. He can be a double-digit rebounding guy, especially if Kendrick Perkins is out there. He will block, you know, a number of shots. You're not going to lose points from turnovers. He's a good assist guy. I think he's going to have some pretty good value, Andrew Bogut, at that price. Steph Curry, you're paying $10,400 for him. The problem here with this game is that the Pelicans are so undermanned. We've got a spread of 9.5 points the Warriors are favored by. That screams, yeah, blowout. Does Steph sit the last 7 minutes of this game? There's a huge possibility. He's not going to be challenged by Nate Robinson. He's not going to be challenged by Ish Smith. he might not get enough minutes for him to actually return enough value on that. Now, at that sort of price, he could get 40 points, and that's okay, but it's not enough at that price. So depending on the way that you've built the rest of your team, Steph Curry is definitely not a must-own guy, in my opinion. Klay Thompson at 7,100, I think there's some value there, but the blowout risk comes into consideration too. Whereas Andre Iguodala at a cheap price of 4,300, he's a nice cheap option on the wing if you want to go big names, Davis and Curry. You can put Iguodala in there. He might get 27 minutes, produce some nice numbers, get you 20 fantasy points, and that's a pretty nice contribution. The other guys who are injury-wise, Luke Babbitt is another guy who, again, he's probable with a hamstring issue. We don't know if he is going to play. And Alexia Ginza, they're the two guys you really need to check because it affects a little bit daily fantasy values. But if a Ginza plays, even though he's at minimum salary, I don't think he's going to get enough run, but look for him in the next game. And Luke Babbitt's not someone we really need to pay attention to for daily fantasy purposes from this team. So that's the three games. What I've done here is I've given you, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it up on the screen now. I've got a rundown of not necessarily my best buys, so to speak. So what I've done is each position, a cheap option, a mid-priced option, and an expensive option. So with point guards, you can see I've got Nate Robinson at 3,500, Mo Williams at 6,000, and Steph Curry at 10,400. That's mainly because there's no other really high-priced point guards. And by high price, I think I base it as over 7,500. So Reggie Jackson's in that range. Derrick Rose is in that range. But in terms of return on investment, Steph Curry is still the best option there. Shooting guards, Kent Bazemore at 3,700. Touched on him already. Eric Gordon at 5,200. And Jimmy Butler at 7,500 is the dearer option. Small forwards, Stan Johnson, 4,100. Nikola Mirotic at 5,100. And LeBron James at 11,000. Power forwards, I really love the value here. Ersan Ilyasova, 4,900. Ryan Anderson, 5,400. Paul Millsap, 8,000. Actually, that Millsap price isn't right. I think that's changed since I did that. I probably should look that up. I think that he's actually lower than that. The centers, Thiago Splitter, 4,000. Andrew Bogut, 5,400. And Al Horford, 7,500. And have they changed those values? I mean, I haven't even noticed. Let's have a look. Bring it up again. Bit of a delay. Regardless, those guys still remain my good value plays. Just their salaries is a little bit off. Yeah, Horford's at 7,200, Millsap at 7,700. So those guys did change a little bit, but there is still value in both of those guys. So make sure if you are watching on YouTube, you can have a look at the names I've got up there. Start to build some lineups out with that, and they're some of the good value players that you do have. All right. On to listener questions, and I do thank everyone for sending in these questions. Again, each podcast, we're going to have a section full of listener questions. I'll send a tweet out each day for you to give me your questions that you want answered on the podcast. So be sure to look out for that tomorrow. Now, listener questions. Michael on Twitter at Mick Parra. Danny Granger's waived. Can you think of a quicker fall from grace? He was drafted top three in 2011 before he did his knee. There's not a question there, but yeah, there is. Do I think of a quicker fall from grace? No. Danny, it's amazing. If you weren't playing fantasy basketball 5 years ago, you would be shocked that Danny Granger was a top five pick. He's been nothing for 4 years, and he's still rehabbing a foot injury. Maybe he gets picked up by someone. A really, really huge drop-off. Lawrence Moten on Twitter, at Lawrence_Moten. Josh! Exclamation mark. Do you expect anything out of OJ Mayo this year? How about Gerald Green? Who would you rather own in a 12-team 9-cat league? OJ Mayo is one of the most forgotten players in the NBA to me. He changed his number from 00, which I didn't like. I didn't like him changing it. I liked him rocking 00, but he's out of that now. He's lost a ton of weight. He's in a contract year. The only problem, I was thinking, yeah, you know what? He's a little bit of a sleeper this year, OJ Mayo. I think he's maybe a sleeper. Rashad Vaughn for the Bucks has played really well this preseason, and he is literally going to take OJ Mayo's role. So, in a 12-team league, I don't want anything to do with OJ Mayo. You need to go 14, 16-team league deep. Gerald Green's an interesting one. He's going to be a points and threes sort of guy. He's going to have to get a role behind Luol Deng and Justice Winslow. And not Justice Winslow, Luol Deng and Dwayne Wade. Now, we know Wade is probably going to miss some time this season, so Green is going to have value. He's going to have value on his own in a 12-team format for threes and some scoring. I don't think that he is a must-own, but out of those two, it's definitely Gerald Green that I want. Iron Man, my boy, Starks_industry. What do you project Reggie Jackson and Stanley Steemers, that's an interesting name, stats for Tuesday's game? I can have a look at that right here for you. Stanley Steemer. I think he goes, I've got him at 10.5-5 with 1.3 steals. I think that's a pretty decent return in 26 minutes. If I scroll down to my list here and see Reggie Jackson, I've got him at 16-9 with 4.5 rebounds and a steal. So that's, yeah, there you go. That's what I've got projected. And you can check all the projections out on Basketball Monster. So thank you for that, Tony Starks. Josh Cornelison, who's on Twitter at Xavier Star. How do we handle Bob Covington? Do we hang on to him or drop him and stream from the spot? I think you just hang on to him. It's 2 weeks. He's not an end of the bench guy to me. He's a top 60 player. I think you hang on to him for this week. I've mentioned this quite a few times, I think, throughout the preseason. He's almost invariably lose the first week because of the crazy stuff that happens. I just get a handle on my team. What needs to happen? Don't make any silly moves. I think that you hold on to Bob Covington. See exactly what sort of breaks down with him if we hear any further news. Again, the Sixers are playing Wednesday and Friday only this week anyway, so you're going to have someone else that you can just shot into that spot. You're not missing a game. You just put him on your bench on those two games. I would much rather keep Bob Cov than stream the spot because he's going to have more value than those streamers. I think a streamer guy is great to replace a guy outside the top 100 who was your worst three players on your team. Bob Cov is not one of your worst three players on your team. And if he is, your team is really strong. Freddie C goes with a similar question at RunT. Should I grab Covington off the wire and drop Wilson Chandler, Marcus Smart, D'Angelo Russell? Or do I wait it out? Now, a similar thing happens here is, okay, you can grab Covington. He's obviously not playing these next 2 weeks. I would be okay. I think that he's definitely better than all those three guys. He gives different things, though. Smart's going to give you more assists. Russell's going to give you more assists. Chandler will probably give you, you know, similar sort of stats. I think that if I'm dropping one of those guys, it's Wilson Chandler because, you know, Covington provides a similar sort of role in three, some rebounds, some steals, but does it better than what Chandler does. Smart and Russell assists, Smart with the steals. You know, the rebounding for a point guard is really good for him. The worst player out of that group is Russell, though. So if you're looking just to drop the worst guy, it's Russell. But the guy I'd be looking at is probably Wilson Chandler because he's never going to be a guy who jumps into the top 100 and really, you know, provides brilliant value, whereas Russell could have a stretch where he gets better at some point. Stingy, or as I prefer to pronounce it, Stingy, on Twitter at 8, though. I hope I pronounce that correctly. Would you rather have Ilyasova, Lynn, or Collison? Let's try that again. Collison in a 9-cat head-to-head league. Really good question. Obviously, Ilyasova is different to Lynn and Collison. So when you're asking these questions, you need to really have a look at your team because I could say, yeah, Ilyasova's better. But if you don't need threes and rebounds, what's the point in him? If you're desperate for assists, then Lynn and Collison are way better. So it really depends. At the end of these, waiver-wise, into your bench, what do you need? It's not necessarily a matter of who's better. And again, it goes back to my preseason phrase, not drafting the best player, drafting the best team. And that's part of what this comes down to. Now, Lynn or Collison, I think that Collison provides probably, look, they're both in a backup role, obviously. I think Collison is going to have a better fantasy season than what Lynn is this season, but they're pretty close guys. Lynn's going to hurt your field goal percentage a lot more than Collison, so bear that in mind. Collison's probably going to get you more assists as well. He's the guy that I would be targeting here, but Lynn a very close second, Ilyasova third. But again, it depends on what sort of numbers you need or what sort of stat categories you need. Next question from Daniel Bradley. Late drafted bigs, Kylo Quinn, Amir Johnson, Aaron Gordon, and Brandon Wright. Who do you see exceeding their ceiling? Well, Amir Johnson, I really like Amir Johnson. A lot of bodies there. Brandon Wright, again, he's stuck behind Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. He's never going to play a huge role, I don't think. Aaron Gordon, he's a guy that's got definite upside potential, and so does Kyle O'Quinn. Gordon's got the biggest upside there. O'Quinn is the second guy in that list to me. The last question comes from Jeff Brown, JM Brown, 10,001. Could you run through players who got starting jobs at preseason's end and what it does to their value? Well, the two guys that come to my mind, I think I've touched on most of it here. Tony Snell with the Bulls, who's got the temporary starting job. Kent Bazemore in Atlanta. They're the two main guys that we've heard definites from. The guys in Philadelphia as well, who I mentioned. Most of these players, just because they got named a starter, it doesn't change their value because they're still not going to be, again, started as a meet, they're going to go out there and have a usage of 30 and play 33 minutes and have all the shots and everything run through them. They're going to be similar guys. They're just going to start with the other four better players. So I don't think there's anyone really at the end of preseason where they went, you know what, we had a battle, this guy became our starting player, so now we need to, you know, we need to go and add him in all leagues. Nothing really changed in that sort of sense. You know, Tayshaun Prince becoming the starter in Minnesota, that has no bearing on fantasy leagues, except it means you don't want to start. You don't want to own Zach LaVine in standard leagues. Tony Snell, Kent Bazemore. You know, the Marcus Morris, Ehsan Ilyasova situation. They're still going to get similar minutes if they were starting or coming off the bench with Stanley Johnson. Not a huge amount changes there. So it's good to pay attention to it. But overall, I don't think it's going to be a huge thing for the season. All right, that is it for the podcast. I can't believe we went 50 minutes without even talking about any games to review, which we'll have three tomorrow, plus a massive 14-game slate to preview. So make sure you're checking that out there. Check out the podcast, obviously, on iTunes. And don't forget to get your opportunity to sponsor the show. Leave a review on iTunes or wherever you leave reviews for podcasts, Stitcher, wherever it is, leave a review, send me a screenshot on Twitter, on email, on Facebook, and you can be the sponsor of the podcast for a day, just like at SuperBuckWild was for today, one of the great supporters of the podcast, and he left a fantastic review. Again, as funny, as heartfelt, as whatever as you want a review, just leave a review, give it 5 stars, sponsor the podcast. My other sponsors, Moneyball, if you're in Australia or New Zealand, check them out for some daily fantasy action. That's obviously going to be a massive for us, and hopefully we can hopefully you guys can't take my money tomorrow, although I'm sure you will, as you've probably seen me in quite a few of those contests. And as I said, I've set up 3 or 4 Red Rock listener leagues over on Moneyball that I again, if you're interested, let me know and I'll set up another one and you can have a go at that. But there'll be those running pretty much every day. Now that's it. Make sure you're checking out Hardwood Paroxysm as well. Again, big shout out to Kyle McEwen joining the team at Basketball Monster. My Twitter handle is redrock_bball. Please follow me there. Thank you. Ooh, pushed the wrong button. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.